Results from a preliminary toxicology report indicate the deadly prescription opioid fentanyl was in the system of a 10-year-old Miami boy who died last month. Now, authorities there don't think it came from his home, don't think it's something he deliberately ingested. They think that he may have just inhaled it while walking home or picked it up off a towel at the community pool. The state attorney general, Catherine Fernandez-Rundle, says, "We believe that it was somewhere between the park or the pool or the sidewalk, or maybe he touched something." And they're warning the public that breathing in or touching even a tiny speck of this drug could cause death, a terrifying notion. Let's bring in Dr. Jean Marie Perrone. She's director of the Division of Medical Toxicology in the Department of Emergency Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania. And Dr. Perrone, we feel we've been here before with the police officer in Ohio who became unconscious after fellow officers say he brushed what they thought was a tiny bit of fentanyl off his shirt after a drug bust. At that time, you and others said that was not possible, so be clear. Can you absorb a tiny bit of fentanyl through the skin and be so affected by it?
I think it's very unlikely. We have a lot of history of use of fentanyl as a drug used in transdermal preparations, meaning a fentanyl patch. And when you use fentanyl in that way, it's been engineered to be absorbed through the skin by having a carrier or something that enhances absorption because it wouldn't ordinarily get into the skin quickly enough. So if you put these two patches on both of your hands, over many, many hours it would take to get to a lethal dose or even a significant dose. The patches work very, very slowly, and that's with a carrier molecule to help the fentanyl get through the skin. Mm-hmm. The skin is a pretty good barrier.
Well, then it was thought that the officer, and some think now maybe this little boy, terrible story, may have inhaled it. It somehow just breathed it in. Your thoughts on that?
So fentanyl by inhalation would be extremely unlikely explanation in this case, and especially because there was also heroin along with that. So fentanyl would have to be highly concentrated in an area that was directly in front of the child. So it couldn't be ambient, and it would be unlikely to be the source, especially with this kind of unclear story of his exposure.
Well, look, I mean, we don't know enough about this case to say anything further, except that perhaps it could have been that ingested in a larger form somewhere? I mean, do people put this terrible poison, if you're not using it for a painkiller, into cookies or anything?
I don't think that they would. I mean, it's quite a malicious thought and highly unlikely. Fentanyl or heroin as a oral poison, if it was to be malicious, would have to be present in pretty large quantities and would be unlikely to be used in that way. I can't imagine, you know, the food contamination as a likelihood. Orally, you know, directly ingesting the drugs maybe in large quantities, but it just doesn't make sense from the, you know, age of the victim.
Well, officials there again say they don't think it's something that he did intentionally. Mm-hmm. So we'll put that aside. This has been terrifying, though, a terrifying time for people who live where there are outbreaks of this epidemic. Lawrence, Massachusetts, for instance, police there just went in hazmat suits to take out two men who fatally overdosed, and carfentanil, the elephant tranquilizer, was found in their overdose. And as the neighbors watched them go in and out in hazmat suits, they were all saying, well, what about us, you know? How much should people fear just either being around, inhaling or touching fentanyl or carfentanil?
Well, I think we have pretty good guidance for law enforcement personnel that, you know, gloves should be used. And
well, wait a minute, because that's where it gets confusing. If police officers should use gloves to avoid fentanyl being, you know, on their skin, why couldn't it affect a 10-year-old?
Police officers should use gloves for a lot of reasons, but, you know, if they were handling pure drug in large quantities, that would be, you know, a very adequate barrier to prevent any concern about this. In terms of, you know, the community, I think the community is at virtually no risk for any kind of concern in these kinds of cases. If there were an explosion of a fentanyl, you know, factory, perhaps, you know, then people in the surrounding area might have a little bit more to be worried about. But in the trace quantities, we know it's so potent, and in the trace quantities that people are using and getting exposed to, that is not going to be aerosolized to any significant degree that, anyone should be worried about in the neighborhood. But I can understand the fear that people in, you know, big gear and, hazmat suits would invoke in a community. And we don't recommend that hazmat suits be used in these kinds of cases. There are unintended consequences to be, you know, overly dressed. And personal protective equipment can be bulky and impair the ability for responders to actually be able to do their job. So we don't overly prescribe that kind of caution.
Hmm. Well, that goes against the narrative. All of this goes against the narrative.
It is puzzling and very unfortunate, but I think there will be other explanations, hopefully.
For this little boy. Jean Marie Perrone, Director of the Division of Medical Toxicology in the Department of Emergency Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania. Dr. Perrone, thank you.
Thank you.